You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We thought we had a thaw in umpire-player relations this week when Chad Fairchild apologized to Chris Bassett. It lasted about a day. Umpire Dan Bellino inspecting Madison Bumgarner's hand, but he never looks the hand, just stares into his eyes. If you didn't know better, you would have thought it was spontaneous and romantic. A burp is spontaneous. A burp is not romantic. Let's go around the horn. Noted legal strategist and mechanic and hand dresser. Mona Lisa Vito. Talk to the hand. Series doesn't start till home team loses, so we have two unstarted series here that haven't been close. Phoenix and Miami, well-oiled machinery. Mavs and Sixers, like in cartoons when they show cavemen trying to move a wagon before they invented the wheel and they're just square rocks. That's what they are. Whether you think it's a wrap in the series, fine, but let's talk out Philadelphia for a second. Of course, they look like they're missing their MVP. They are. Joel Embiid, no timetable on his return. And the place where James Harden is right now, it's clear to everybody, is just not enough. Frank Isola, around the horn to you. How did the Sixers get here? And where is here?
Yeah, well, you're 100% right. With Embiid, it would help. I don't know if they're going to beat Miami, though. Miami is battle-tested. They're tough. The problem is James Harden. You needed James Harden, not even to play like the James Harden from 2-3 years ago. Play like the James Harden who got to the Brooklyn Nets last year, and for a while there was neck and neck with Nikola Jokic. Do you know that since January 25th, he has scored 30 or more points one time. He's yet to do it with Philadelphia. He's yet to have 10 field goals in a game since January 25th, even by accident. Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo came off the bench. They had 6 field goals. That's as many as James Harden had. Philadelphia's got a huge problem. They're going to have to pay him in the offseason. Good luck with that.
Bill Plaschke.
Frank, do you have an MVP vote for the NBA?
Yes. Yes.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted Embiid second, Nikola Jokic first.
You
I
know saw where that was going.
That's my point. Embiid is the MVP, and this series is showing why Embiid is the MVP. They have no shot without him. The bench, Miami's bench outscored Philadelphia 52-19 yesterday. Harden has gone the Russell Westbrook way, as you just said, Frank. They have no shot without Embiid. This series is probably going to be a sweep. And that's why he's the MVP, and you should have voted for him.
Well done, Plaschke.
It's a regular season award, Bill.
Your takeaway from this 2-0 Heat lead.
That's like a very personal question there, putting Frank on the spot. Who'd you vote for president, by the way, Frank? Anyway, let's keep going. Look, I think with James Harden, I think it's been an obvious problem here that he is not who he was before. And the interesting part here is you got Doc saying since he got there, he's got to be the old James Harden. We need him to be more aggressive. And so the Miami Heat look at that and they say, okay, well, without Joel Embiid, they're going to try to do that. He's going to try to do that. So we're going to play him like he's that guy. He cannot do anything against that defense right now. And frankly, if you look at some certain spots, there are places where he can pass the ball to. He's not seeing those passes either. So basically, if they're playing into the hands of this defense, really what they could do is put the ball in the hands of Tyrese Maxey more. He's got more of the speed that can get by the Heat defenders and then maybe break down the defense and rotate. They still have guys that can hit shots. But right now, if you're going to go try to center your team around an offense around James Harden without Embiid, it's just not going to work against this defense.
Kevin Blackstone.
You know, I was looking at James Harden's career stats, and he averaged almost 20 shots per game for his career. Right now, he's averaging 13. Last night, he took 15. So to Frank's point about James Harden, because you got to talk about the guy who's out there who you got to help you get to the next series and the series beyond that, and he's just not an emphatic basketball player right now. He is distributing the ball way too much. We applaud him for being able to play a point guard role, but that shouldn't be his role right now. It's got to be to score the basketball. And as far as Bill's talking about missing Embiid, of course. I mean, this is an amazing development, right? Adebayo looks around and he sees nobody to stop him at at the rim, and now he's had two 20-point back-to-back games without Embiid in the middle there. And how many times in the second half did he hook up with Jimmy Butler in a pick and roll and catch the ball at the rim? Nobody to stop him, slams it home. So those two guys are missing in action. One who's actually not there, and the other one who is there.
So I'll let you get back in here to pick up the pieces of your argument, please.
All right, so James Harden last year played on one leg. Give him a lot of credit against Milwaukee. The Nets lose. When he was struggling in November, he said, hey, I didn't get to really train that much during the offseason because of my hamstring. All right, we'll go along with that in November and December. James, it's May. You're not in good enough shape. Look at Chris Paul going to a vegan diet, basically found the fountain of youth. James Harden has to completely change the way he does business because right now he doesn't look in shape.
You think that's what it is, and it's not just the normal evolution of a player's game into their mid-30s.
Partly.
I mean, the usage rate of James Harden in his first 10 years in the league is about as high as anybody's as well. I mean, he worked for a decade in the league. This is what happens. Not everybody can carry it until their late 30s and 40s.
16 months ago, he was an MVP candidate, though. That's what makes no sense. He lost it that quickly. He's got to get in better shape.
Dallas has their best player. He is dealing, but they have nothing else around him, and they're down 0-2. Luka going to get a baby Bjorn deal to what he's carrying everyone else on his team. Around the Bjorn, that's what that – Israel, is that more about how good the Suns' game plan is or how individually Doncic the Mavs have played? Because last series we saw them win even without Doncic.
Yeah, I can't do this for two series in a row here and not give the winning team a lot of credit because we talked about James Harden struggling, and this isn't a Luka Doncic problem. This is the Phoenix Suns are this good, right? And so you talk about Brunson, who had in that series, the previous series against Utah, whether Luka was in there or not, never scored less than 23 points a game. This game, this series, struggling mightily, trying to get shots off. And look at those seven turnovers Luka Doncic had. How many of those were turnovers out of a double team in a pick and roll because Mikal Bridges has the great long arms and quick hands? Like, that's just a great Phoenix Suns defense. And look, Chris Paul, I mean, I don't know if it was the vegan diet. I don't know if animal food products are that bad for you as an NBA player. But good Lord, the things that Chris Paul are doing in this series already have been phenomenal. And that fourth quarter he had, I know Devin Booker had 20 points in the second half as well. But that was Chris Paul setting the tone in the fourth quarter again. He's phenomenal.
Well, Klatsky, more about Phoenix, more about Dallas.
I think it's more about Dallas. I think that they, in fact, Luka even said it after the game. He acted like the series was already over with. They've never been this far before. Dinwiddie and Brunson scored 41 points combined in two games. And Luka was terrible defensively. He was so wiped out. They were 6-for-9 against him when they had him in isolation. Chris Paul just went after him. It was unbelievable. They were doing all the screens just to get him. I don't see how that changes. I'd like to say Dallas has a chance in this. Chris Paul, by the way, is 9-1 games against Luka. He's not going to lose another one or two of those.
Frank Isola.
All right, so maybe Luka Doncic, he might take, he has the ball in his hands maybe too much, but he does dominate their offense. But to Bill's point, and Bill is finally right, the problem is him defensively. They were isolating him the entire game. All they did was get him in a pick and roll, and he can't defend. He's just not good enough. Give the Phoenix Suns a lot of credit. They're a smart team that knows how to win. We've talked about them all year long. They do not have a weakness. Chris Paul, 14 points in the fourth quarter. He's getting better as his career goes along and as the games go along.
Kevin Blagastaw.
To me, this is all about the Suns. If Dallas was going to be celebrated about something beyond Luka, it was the fact that they improved their defense this year, right? And they brought that to the playoffs. Look what happened to it last night. 62% shooting from the field, 52% from the three-point line for the Suns. They have not shot in the playoffs yet less than 50% in a game. That is amazing. That is offense you cannot stop, and Dallas is not stopping them right now.
We move on. Ben Simmons' back surgery completed today. As they say with these things, it was successful surgery. Whatever that means. Let's see if he gets home and see if he comes back in 3 to 4 months, which complicates already the most complex navigation of player, team, and public relations. Because when Nets team doctor cleared him to play game 4 and Simmons didn't play because he said he wasn't ready or his back didn't feel right, there was a tidal wave of Ben Simmons doesn't want to play, Ben Simmons is soft, Ben Simmons is pathetic, is this a mental health issue or not, is he a terrible teammate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera takes. Frank, is the fact that he needed and got surgery that's going to keep him out for 3 to 4 months provide any clarity or change anything? And also, how could the Nets clear him to play to begin with?
Well, if he says that he's okay to play, but it's interesting. Steve Nash throughout the playoffs was saying, I don't know. I really don't see it. I don't know where these reports are coming from. I don't know if he's going to play. Then Ben Simmons finally met with the media. And he said, I think I'm going to be good to go in game four. Obviously then had a setback. You know, right now the biggest issue for the Brooklyn Nets, they made this huge trade. It's one of the rare trades. Maybe it's not going to help either side, James Harden and Ben Simmons. I think fans will be more sympathetic to Ben Simmons now that we do know it's a legitimate injury, but it still doesn't answer what was the problem in Philadelphia when he didn't want to play. He didn't show up late for training camp. So there's still some issues. And remember this, Tony, when he shows up, he hasn't played since June 20th of 2021. And the last time we saw him play when he was healthy, he really struggled. So, yes, his back is a big part of it. But is his psyche ready? Because he just wouldn't shoot the ball and couldn't shoot the ball the last time we saw him play.
One be the other and the other be. I mean, if he. There are, Google Ben Simmons vomiting back injury. There was a game against the Bucks 2 years ago. This could all be he hasn't felt right in his own body, and that affected everything. Right, Frank?
No, that you're 100% right. Those are the questions we don't know. He's not really that open with the media about it. The Nets, because it's his injury, have been kind of private about it. These questions are all going to be answered in training camp, assuming he shows up healthy. But he has had a back issue, to your point, Tony, before that trade
was ever made. My point is then, is he owed – and I don't need you to speak for everybody here, but an apology that, I mean, he was called a pathetic professional and teammate, and here he is having surgery minutes later, Frank.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of confusion there, but I also think that he exacerbated the situation, you know, showing up the way that he was dressed and kind of always trying to draw attention to himself and keeping it out there. Am I going to play? I don't know if I'm going to play. He's ramping up. There was a lot of confusion. Today, there was no confusion. We know exactly what he had. He had surgery. He's going to be out 3 to 4 months.
Bill Plaschke, bring you in here.
But bottom line, he was called a pariah, a coward, a malcontent. Everything you said, Tony, he was called all of these things just in the past couple weeks. To me, this ends that talk. This shuts those people up. Back surgery, it's a big deal. He couldn't play. I know he's had trouble in 2 years in the past, but we're talking about right now, this present, this series, everyone who called him a coward was wrong, and he is owed an apology. Back surgery is a big deal.
Because this doesn't change anything. It was very confusing. If the information from Ben Simmons' camp was, hey, he's on the verge of back surgery and trying to play through it, people would say, oh, okay, we understand. But from one day to the next, you say he's going to come back. You say he's not going to come back. You say he's walking. You say he's running. You don't know what he's doing. And now you're saying he's had back surgery. So maybe it paints a clearer picture now. But the information that was getting leaked out before, not clear at all.
Kevin Blackiston.
Yeah, I think the way you just laid it out, Tony, in this segment just shows that there is no clarity. We really aren't sure what's going on. Even if he is about to go through back surgery, he's still got to come back at some point and play and prove to people his worth, either to the team that traded him or to the team that he's with now. And so up until that happens, I don't know what judgment you can make. And I'll just point out, having back surgery as an NBA player is not incredibly unusual. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. is about to have his third, or just went through his third.
All right, so you said there's a lack of clarity, and that is true. That would have been true then 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Kevin, when he was, I mean, this was personal, Frank. We had talked about this on the show. People were calling him the worst professional in sports.
I never thought he was going to play. I don't think they were ever going to put him out there. It would have been unfair to put him out there in a playoff series considering the way that he played
the last
time.
Well, Kevin, the point is you said there's a lack of clarity, so don't make a ruling here. Well, that applied 3 weeks ago, and everyone was happy and content to make a ruling on the man's professional.
They also said a mental issue triggered his back problems, Tony. Who's to say that won't happen again after surgery?
He's owed an apology, period.
We've been home. We're taking a break. Buy or sell on the other side.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
No NBA games tonight. League taking time to make a ruling on Dylan Brooks. One game suspension for the Memphis Grizzlies player who got the flagrant two, shot to the head of Gary Payton II, and then while hitting the floor and trying to break his fall, Payton broke his elbow. He's going to be out for at least 2 or 3 weeks. Going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Team says he could be back for the finals if the Warriors get that far. But excessive force from Brooks, one game suspension from the NBA. Buy or sell it, Israel?
I'm going to sell it. Look, I know it's an automatic suspension based on, you know, previous history and precedent. I think in a playoff series, which is more important than the regular season, if a player that you commit a flagrant foul to penalty against gets injured, you have to at least add one more game to that penalty. If not, as long as the other player is out.
Oh, so you think more? Okay.
Because it just directly impacts the series so much. I think he should be suspended at least one more game, if not more.
Bill Plaschke.
Izzy, if he impacts the series that much, suspend him for the rest of the series. Suspend him for as long as Payton is out. As long as the injured player is out, okay, you shouldn't get to play too. And I think they need to establish this. The league needs to establish this policy because, again, just like you said, the playoffs are so important and individual players are so important to the playoffs. So if you hurt a guy in a flagrant two and he's out the rest of the series, so
that's results-oriented. You're making a ruling. The intent was to commit a flagrant foul and in the process, he got injured to such a degree, he's out as long as the player is, Plaschke.
Yes, for the rest of the series,
Frank,
absolutely.
How does that sound to you?
Nah, I don't agree with Bill on that. You know, Brandon Clark got fouled by Draymond Green. That's a flagrant two, and Brandon Clark didn't get hurt, but he still, there should have been an ejection there. My thing is, in this case, when you look at what happened in that play, Steve Kerr, when he was interviewed on the court moments later, said that was a dirty play. Steve Kerr knew what he was doing there. He played for Phil Jackson for a long time. He was already working the league office to make sure it was a minimum one game suspension. I don't have a problem with one game. I think that was the right
call.
This
is when Kerr also said after the game that it broke the code among players. Blackstone, one game suspension for this play?
I can see a suspension that's longer than that. I think what the league needs to do is just be certain about one thing. Anytime a player is in the air and you take that player out of the air and they cannot land properly, I think that you are in a danger zone. And I think that is what the league should consider when they talk about suspending.
That's a lot, Kevin, because the entire sport is played in the air, right? I mean, that's anytime
it is.
Quarterback.
Grayson Allen got one game. Grayson Allen got one for the Caruso hit. Right.
They protect the shooters.
Buy or sell two. WNBA season. It opens tomorrow, but today is another day of cuts, and it's been shocking. It's not just the names. Crystal Dangerfield was Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. She was cut. Avina Westbrook just drafted. She was cut. Laisha Clarendon, he was cut. It's the sheer numbers. 2 weeks after the draft, I say again, the players have an amazing moment, and they get cut. Natasha Cloud says, expand our MF league. Brianna Stewart says, and she was even more specific, the teams are keeping less players on purpose and everyone making the jump that it's because of money. Bill Plaschke, does the WNBA have a big problem here or a huge problem, and is it solvable?
A huge problem. I don't know if it's solvable. This is a league, don't forget, where in the CBA it is written the players must fly commercial or they get fined. Their team gets fined. This is a league is struggling for money so much like this. In the last 4 years, and they also have a problem with the salary cap. The last 4 years, the maximum salary has increased 94%, but the cap has increased only 35%. So the lower level players can't get paid. They don't have the money to get paid. I don't know how you fix it.
Israel Gutierrez.
Well, this particular problem, and the WNBA does have a few, but this particular problem, I feel like Breonna Stewart hit it when she said the hard salary cap is the biggest problem. Maybe hit a soft salary cap where you can finally get these players in and it's not so, you know, such a hard cap. But the problem is you're talking about owners who can they afford if these salary numbers go higher because it's a revenue situation. And then that goes back to the entire problem here. So it just makes you wonder if the revenue is going to be there, it's going to be problem number one, then there's always going to be sort of dominoes that
if
follow.
If the revenue is going to be there, here's a disconnect here for me, okay? Ratings are increasing with every game they put on national TV, with every game that's televised, which is increasing as well. They just had a money raise that was celebrated for nearly being $70 million. Kevin Blackstone, is this a solvable issue? Why are so many players being cut?
Well, because the league is still, I assume, running a deficit. Remember in 2018, Adam Silver came out and said he was losing $10 million a year with the WNBA. They got to figure out a way to fix the finances of the league. As Bill pointed out, you can't be fining people as they did the New York Liberty $500,000 because they flew some of their flights on a charter basis. So they've got a money problem. They got to figure out a way to fix it. And I just got to point out, the ABL, which started a year before the WNBA, had a better financial plan and paid their players better. Look at that plan.
Frank Isola.
So it's a harder league to make. So just from a product standpoint, you're only keeping the best players in there. But Bill and Breonna Stewart mentioned the three letters, CBA. The players will have a chance to bargain this at the next contract, which comes up. I find that hard to believe. You don't have 12 and even 13 players. You need players for practice. I understand the season is short, but you still need practice players over the course of the season.
Thanks for your time there, Kevin Blackstone. And Frank Iselli, it's just so tough. You watch the draft. There's so much momentum after March Madness. And then you have the draft immediately after that. And you're watching the players you just saw play in the title game. And in the Final Four, they get drafted in the first and second round. And they still don't make the team. It doesn't compute. Showdown is next. Is Ruger Gutierrez, it's Bill Plaschke in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Umpire Dan Bellino inspecting Madison Bumgarner's hand, but he never looks at the hand, just stares at his eyes. Maybe he's looking to see if his eyes would betray him, and there was something on his hand, and he's feeling the hand, but the fight afterwards and the ejection of Bumgarner, very predictable that it would happen after that. But can Major League Baseball feel Bumgarner was rightfully ejected there, or do they have to take action over an umpire? And maybe you'll say the umpire was antagonizing the pitcher by staring him down. Bill?
Baseball's got to take action. I covered baseball a long time, and this is clear what was going on. Bumgarner was showing up home plate umpire Wills during the previous half inning. He got some close strike calls. So Bellino was taken up for the home plate umpire by clearly antagonizing. He wasn't even looking at the hand. Usually the hand thing is 10 seconds. He needs to be suspended.
Is Ruger Gutierrez?
Not only clearly antagonizing it, but under the guise of a friendly hand massage and staring him in the face and knowing that Bumgarner can easily be triggered, it was obviously something he was trying to get out of him. The ejection should absolutely be looked into.
Okay. Israel Gutierrez. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Well, thank you very much. So I saw on Club Shay Shay, which I'm pretty sure is just J.A. Adande's lounge, just sort of redone here, where Shannon Sharpe was with DK Metcalf. And DK Metcalf says he's the fastest player in the NFL, says he's faster than Tyreek Hill. Look, a lot of people have said this. We need to make this happen. This needs to be an event postseason that Micah Parsons can't win and say he's the NFL's fastest man. Just run these two guys and every single year have the NFL's fastest man take on somebody else.
Superstars challenge. I love this.
Bring back the Superstars. Look at Heather.
Probably do it in Miami, right?